This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Foundation for freedom from religion is demonic power moving to shut down the power of God that comes through prayer.
So greetings, you possessed non-believer who thinks the government should be free of prayer. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And no, I'm not demon-possessed, as that political candidate said last week before the Family Research Council convention. But we are possessed with a driving desire to keep our government free from religion as is constitutionally dictated.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the last day of May, the May 31st, 2014 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. And by the way, happy anniversary, Annie Laurie.
Thank you. Happy anniversary, Dan.
We were married on May the 30th, 3 cubed years ago. You know how long ago 3 cubed is?
It's not 3 squared. That's only 9.
Well, 1987 makes us 3 cubed, 27th anniversary. So happy anniversary. And we're celebrating tonight.
Yeah, we're going to go on a date.
This show originally broadcasts from Madison, Wisconsin. Free Thought Radio broadcasts on radio stations also in California and in New York and in Michigan and Missouri and in Texas and other parts of the country. Or you can hear this week's show or any of the past 420 Free Thought Radio shows archived at our website at ffrf.org/news/radio.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of FFRF, which stands for the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And we work to keep religion out of government and to represent the point of view of those of us who are personally free from religion. And we're over 20,000 members strong in North America. And if you're not a member, we hope you'll join us today at FFRF.org.
We're going to talk with Linda Stevens today. 2 weeks ago, we spoke with Susan Galloway, one of the two plaintiffs in the Greece versus Galloway Supreme Court decision that unfortunately has now blessed sectarian prayer at city council meetings. Today, we're going to talk with the other plaintiff in that lawsuit, Linda Stevens, who is an atheist and a lifetime member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Who is obviously not demon-possessed, since there are no such things as demons.
That's true, but Linda is possessed with a very sharp intelligence and a very deep respect for the secular principles embodied in the U.S. Constitution. And we will talk with her candidly during the second half of today's show.
And now we want to talk a little bit, recap FFRF's Raleigh Regional Convention. That was the first weekend in May. We had over 200 in attendance, and we had a very fun weekend. And what was really nice is that CNN was there.
Some CNN reporters were at the conference in Raleigh, and they produced a piece for the CNN Belief blog. The piece is called Atheists in the Bible Belt, a Survival Guide. How do you survive? There were more than 200 non-believers, atheists, and agnostics at this conference, so they were walking around in a sea of non-believers in the South. You can read that piece that CNN Belief blog produced at religion.blogs.cnn.com, but here is the little video that accompanies that story.
In the Bible Belt, it's scary. I didn't want to come out at first.
There's many people who aren't out. They're very nervous about coming out.
They assume that you being an atheist means that you're the antithesis of Christian. You support the devil.
I've been an atheist since I was 21, which means 51 years because I'm almost 72.
Lutherans have liturgies. Calvinists have creeds. Muslims have their minarets. Catholics have their beads.
We're at the Freedom From Religion Foundation Regional Conference, and there's a lot of activism here for separation of church and state.
But poor little me, I only have a brain.
The whole South is set up to support Christians, to really encourage Christianity. And so anybody who's not Christian has a lot of trouble, I think, in the Bible Belt.
It's easy for people to demonize people and to think they are this strange, evil people when they don't know any.
I had one of the only panic attacks I've ever had in a church service. And that church specifically was a very evangelistic congregation. There was just a sense that if people around me knew that I was an atheist, it would be very different.
Yeah, I've lost friends because of it.
I'm cool with everyone. I don't care if you're a Christian or not.
I know there are different types of Christians. You don't want to ruin a relationship with someone who's good. And I think that's how they should treat atheists.
So that was FFRF's high school student activist awardee, Kaylee Wilson. The one saying Christians should treat atheists the way they treat anyone else. We also heard from Sophia Winkler, who was another student activist awardee. We had four of them at the conference getting $1,000 awards. Natasha Ashmont, Sandra Howerton, she's the 72-year-old FFRF member. Artist and filmmaker Scott Burdick, who we interviewed earlier this year. And Max Nielsen, who is our student plaintiff in a South Carolina case. And we also heard you, Dan, singing a snippet of Poor Little Me, which... you wrote the words, and Charles Strauss of Annie fame wrote the music.
And
so that was fun.
It's always fun to see the audience laugh at that line. Poor little me, I only have a brain. What am I going to do? So go look at that CNN Belief blog. It's pretty cute. It's called The Survival Guide in the Bible Belt. Atheism in the Bible Belt, a survival guide. And they give a number of points on there. The first one was, you may be lonely, but you aren't alone. And they quoted Annie Laurie in that.
And it's no fun debating fundamentalists. And that was Bart Ehrman. That was a cute line.
And then Todd Stiefel of the Stiefel Foundation. Two of the points there were, people will think you worship Satan. The other point was, behold, the six types of atheists, talking about the variety of non-belief.
Sarah Moorhead from Recovering From Religion spoke, and she did warn that sometimes it is better to stay in the closet depending on your circumstances.
And another point in that survival guide is, don't be the office atheist, Candace Gorham says.
She's the former minister, and she also said, the internet is your frenemy.
And then Kaylee Wilson was quoted, some people take Bible thumping literally.
And Harry Shaughnessy, who's president of the Triangle Freethought Society, who co-hosted that event with us in Raleigh, said and demonstrated, have a sense of humor.
So atheists are people too. We're in the North, we're in the South, we're all over the world.
Now, 2 weeks ago, we spoke with some of our Northeast Ohio freethought activists. We have a chapter there who helped FFRF place 11 out-of-the-closet billboards in the Cleveland-Akron area. And this was a news story about that campaign by ABC5 out of Cleveland.
First, billboards that some find outrageous tonight. They deal with God, and they are right here in Northeast Ohio. Local atheists are behind the billboard campaign to get the word out to the public that they are just like everybody else.
We're everywhere. We're all around. We're your doctors, your lawyers, your bank tellers.
Freedom From Religion Foundation is a national watchdog organization that tries to protect separation of church and state. The group has launched a national billboard campaign. The goal, they say, is to show atheists who are afraid to speak out about their beliefs that they are not alone.
We just want people to not be afraid to be themselves.
11 billboards are up throughout Cleveland and Akron featuring faces of local atheists, agnostics, and free thinkers, along with their personal testimonials.
I want them to know that there are regular people out there, that we're just normal, everyday people. We just happened to not believe in any deity. That's all it is.
Many atheists come from religious backgrounds. Some wish these billboards were there when they felt isolated for their beliefs.
I wish that I had seen that when I was going through this all by myself, then I wouldn't have felt so alone, and maybe I would have had someone to talk to.
Area atheists say this is about everyone's right to have their own beliefs, whatever they may be.
And if there are people who have to believe in God or want to believe in God, that's fine.
That's
if that
okay.
helps them, if that makes them stronger, that's great.
But disrespect us.
Now, the billboards have certainly generated quite a bit of reaction, especially from those who live or work near one.
It does not bother me that there are billboards popping up around the city about atheism. I mean, it's clearly stated in the Constitution that there's freedom of religion.
It bothers me. This outbreak of atheism is just, it's a scourge on our society.
It is estimated that 20% of the population here in the U.S. is non-religious.
So you heard Marnie Huebner-Taborsky in that interview. She's the director of FFRF's Northeast Ohio chapter. You also heard Joanna, who's pictured on one of the billboards with her son, little baby Willie and Channing.
And at the end, you heard a couple in their 80s, octogenarians Elliot and Roni Berenson. And I did love that fundamentalist who complained about the outbreak of atheism. So let's break out atheists. That sounded like music to my ears.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned. In the second half of today's show, we'll be speaking with Supreme Court plaintiff Linda Stevens,
who's a very brave and courageous atheist who fought prayer at city council meetings, and we're really looking forward to talking with her.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And welcome back to Free Thought Radio. This is a big graduation weekend, but how many graduates, when they're walking to receive their diplomas, to that music of pomp and circumstances, realize that they are marching to the music written by a non-believer? June the 2nd, by the way, this week, is the birthday of the British composer Edward Elgar. And June is indeed an appropriate month to have a birthday if you're going to write the most famous graduation melody. Edward Elgar, who was born in 1857, was raised as a Catholic, and he did write some religious music before he deconverted, or before he graduated into non-belief. Before Elgar died, the doctor from Birmingham who delivered the fatal diagnosis of cancer to the composer reported that Elgar told me that he had no faith whatever in an afterlife. Elgar said, "I believe there is nothing but complete oblivion."
Nothing but complete oblivion, yes, after you die, but no, because we are still talking about Elgar. He lives on in his music. He didn't think there was any type of graduation after we die to some eternal life, but he believed in the natural graduations in the real world, and those are what matter.
Earlier this month, Annie Laurie and I went to Canada.
And Kamloops, Canada, and we will pause to let everyone listen and think, where is Kamloops? Do you know where that is? And most people don't.
I'd never heard of Kamloops, Canada before. It starts with a K, K-A-M, Loops, before this year. It's in British Columbia. It's about halfway across the province in the beautiful countryside between mountain peaks, beside a river. Annie Laurie and I spoke at the Imagine No Religion 4 conference, the fourth Imagine No Religion conference in Kamloops, Canada, organized by Bill and Kathy Ligertwood.
And they're with a Kamloops rationalist group, and BC Humanists and Alberta Humanists also helped. And then we went on a little vacation to see Lake Louise, which was frozen and is still frozen, but it was
pretty.
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was really fun to meet so many Canadian free thinkers, and there were some Americans who flew up for that event as well.
And the National Humanists of Canada were also there.
Yes, they were there, and it was a really interesting event, and they're very memorable. But while we were out of the country, the staff at FFRF kept busy, of course, and many complaints about violations of state-church separation came into our office, and it kept our 5 staff attorneys very busy.
For example, received a major complaint about a city in Iowa that awarded a grant of $140,000 to help a private religious group build a Jesus park.
FFRF staff attorney Andrew Seidel was interviewed by a lot of media, but including Sun News out of Canada about this issue. And the host's name, and this is no kidding, is Faith Goldie. And this, and she was very faithful. And this is an excerpt of the 6-minute interview.
Well, a park plant in Iowa is getting international attention. The Shepherd's Garden is a Christian theme park. It's being awarded 140,000 big ones from the state. But the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation, it's fighting the funding, saying using public money to promote Christian ideals, that it violates the First Amendment of their constitution. Joining me now is spokesperson from that very organization, Andrew Seidel. I got to tell you, Andrew, the idea of a Jesus Disneyland to me as a Christian is very appealing. I'm thinking about making the trip down through Nebraska all the way to Iowa and visiting it. What's your beef here?
Well, there actually already is one of those in Florida, but I believe it went bankrupt. I think it shut down. This is a smaller version. It's more of a one square block kind of park. The materials say that it's a Christian park, that it's meant to be a permanent Christian green space. So it's not a park and it's not a green space. It's a permanent Christian park. And it's even meant to promote Christian values and principles, which, again, that runs counter to our First Amendment. The government cannot support religion financially one way or the other.
In my hand, I'm holding up a US $10 bill, which I found in my purse on the way down here. And it says, "In God we trust." I mean, what's next? Are you going to go after your dollar bill to make sure that God's free from that, too?
The Freedom From Religion Foundation has sued on that before, and there's actually a lawsuit at this moment that we are a part of, and we'll continue until that is scraped off of our money, yes. Neither our government nor the principles underlying our government have anything to do with Judeo-Christianity whatsoever.
Well, I do understand that Jefferson was a God-fearing, God-loving man, but he was also one who did argue very, very vehemently for a separation between religion and state.
He also took a razor to the Bible and cut out every supernatural aspect of the Bible, including the virgin birth and the resurrection.
He had a peculiar form of Christianity, if you ask me. Nonetheless, he was adamant on separating religion and state. And for that, you know, God bless him, so to say.
One way to think about it that might help is if the government were funding a park that was meant to serve as an entryway into Islam or into the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, people might begin to understand that the government can't support any religion, including Christianity. We don't have a problem with any private religious park. We find that the crosses and the Bible verses are a bit ostentatious, but there's no law against bad taste. But again, the government cannot fund a park that has a religious purpose.
Andrew, whether it's on the public purse or on the private dime, I do hope that Jesus Disneyland is built, and I will be among the first to join it. Thank you very much for your time today, Andrew.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, Faith.
So that is a really serious faith-based funding violation that we hope we will prevail on. $140,000 giveaway for pure proselytizing of Christianity in Iowa. But I wanted to say that there was a reference to the In God We Trust lawsuit, and actually we got word on Wednesday of this week that the Second Circuit Court of Appeals in New York turned back our challenge with Michael Newdow and many of our members challenging In God We Trust on the coins and currency. And Mike Newdow, who is a pro bono attorney, who moonlights as an attorney, he's really an ER doctor, is very dedicated to overturning these 1950s symbolic violations, and he's going to ask for an en banc review. The primary plaintiff in that case is Rosalind Newdow, who is a longtime member of FFRF, generous backer of FFRF. She's a numismatist, coin collector.
Numismatist,
thank you. Who for 40 years has collected coins, and she's had to drop it because it's too offensive to her to have that In God We Trust, which disenfranchises those of us who are non-believers. And as we always like to say, In God We Trust isn't even accurate. To be accurate, it would have to say In God Some of Us Trust. And wouldn't that be a silly motto? And it dates to the 1950s. It's not part of the founding of our nation.
Or In Some God or Other Some of Us Trust.
And I also want to remark that here in Madison, Wisconsin, we have a very important trial going on in federal court. It's not involving FFRF, but it's the two clinics that will have to go out of biz here in the state, abortion clinics, if the right-wingers prevail. And it's in federal court in Judge Conley's case where they're saying that doctors have to have admission at a hospital. It's a phony, phony argument and a carefully watched case. And we also hope to be celebrating, I'm not sure if it's going to be this weekend or not, that we'll have gay marriage. And it's expected any day now here in Madison, Wisconsin. And they are getting ready to marry a lot of people in Dane County, so that's very good news.
So the fight for freedom continues. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned. We're going to hear an interview with Linda Stevens. We're going to talk with her on the phone, who, along with Susan Galloway, sued the city of Greece, New York, to stop sectarian prayers.
On May 5th, the Supreme Court wrongly decided that case by a 5-4 margin, and we're going to hear Linda's inside story and reaction on the whole process. So stay tuned.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
And I'm Annie Laurie. And we have a very esteemed guest today. We'll have Linda Stevens on the phone with us from New York. And she, of course, is the atheist plaintiff in the Supreme Court case, Greece versus Galloway. And 2 weeks ago, we spoke with her co-plaintiff, Susan Galloway, representing cultural Judaism in that case. And both women were very delighted to say and announce will be at FFRF's 37th annual convention in October at the Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles, accepting Freethinkers of the Year awards. And we're really looking forward to that. But before we bring Linda Stevens on, we do have this news clip to play illustrating the problem with religion and government. And you heard a bit of it at the beginning of today's show. That was E.W. Jackson calling FFRF demonic because we think there should be no prayers at city council meetings. And E.W. Jackson ran for lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia.
Well, that is really scary, I think.
And he was invited to speak last week at Watchmen on the Wall conference put on by the theocratic group Family Research Council, who were crowing about the recent Supreme Court decision allowing some sectarian prayer to open city council meetings. So let's listen to Jackson's remarks in context.
We have got to pray because we know that prayer is power. And my friends, that's why I tell you this is not politics. Because when the Foundation for Freedom from Religion and the ACLU goes around the country trying to stop prayer in city council meetings and school board meetings, they are not simply human beings who disagree with us. It is demonic power moving to shut down the power of God that comes through prayer. That's why they don't want us to pray in the name of Jesus, because there is power in the name of Jesus. For the demonic forces know that one day every eye will behold him, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Well, we want to ask Linda Stevens, the plaintiff, the courageous plaintiff in that Supreme Court challenge, Greece versus Galloway, what her real reason was for taking the case. And by the way, that case was not brought by the ACLU or FFRF. It was taken by Americans United for Separation of Church and State.
Another demonic organization. Yeah.
Welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we're so glad.
You know, since I've been involved in this case, I've gotten a lot of blowback and been called different things. But I think this is the first time I've been called demonic. That's a first.
Well, you'll have
but,
to.
You were asking why I got involved in the case. Well, first of all, I don't think if you want to participate in your local town government, you should have to endure, sectarian prayer. And for 10 years, the town of Greece, that's what they engaged in, Christian prayer. Very, very often over-the-top Christian prayer. Not quite as over-the-top as the gentleman that just spoke, but pretty bad. And it makes you feel like an outsider, you know, if you're an atheist or a Jew or a Wiccan or any of the other variety of religions, and it's all Christian all the time, you don't feel included. You're on the outs.
Well, and if this was a church or the Family Research Council private group having prayer, we have no complaint with that. But what a difference it makes when it's your government telling you to pray. And when did you first encounter prayer in the town of Greece?
some years back when the town supervisor came into office over a decade ago, I think it is, and he immediately started breaching the separation of church and state. He did a lot of things, not just the prayer things, not just inviting the Christian prayer givers in, but he also started engaging the town in the National Day of Prayer business, and he became very, very friendly with the local conservative churches in town and gave them money to put on their 4th of July celebration and a number of things, which you know, I found more and more disturbing. So when a woman named Nancy Brayman, who was, she was raised Jewish at the time, she was Unitarian, I believe, she spoke out about this, and it got in the paper, and that's when I, and she took a lot of abuse. She took, people would call her and say her parents should have died in the Holocaust, that sort of thing, really, really mm-hmm. heavy abuse. And so I decided that I would get involved at that point. So I joined Americans United. I had joined Americans United for Separation of Church and State a while back, and I brought it to their attention, this issue to their attention. And that's sort of how the ball got rolling.
And so you started in federal court, and it ended up, of course, this spring before the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, how did you feel when you heard the decision?
Bad. you know, we were disappointed, but we were not really, really surprised because we knew what the makeup of the Supreme Court is. I mean, there's some heavy-duty Catholics, Roman Catholics on that Supreme Court. Judge Scalia, I think, often talks about his belief in the devil and that sort of thing and wanting to get more religion into the public square.
So Scalia thinks that you and Susan are demonic.
Right.
Maybe if he believes in those things, why wouldn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's told reporters that he absolutely does.
Yes, yeah. He has. And too bad we couldn't get him recused. I know I emailed Americans United, but it was a long shot, and I don't think they went for it.
Yeah.
Now, we've been emailing back and forth, and I think that you have some things to say candidly about how you felt about some of the representation at the oral arguments, which I know that I kind of felt kicked in the gut a little bit as I read some of it. Mm-hmm. What would you like to say about that?
Well, you weren't the only one that felt kicked in the gut about that. What happened was, you know, Americans United, their legal team, put a lot of time and effort and not to mention resources and money and trips to Rochester and whatnot. But what happened there was they made a mistake, and I believe it was a major mistake. Douglas Laycock was on their legal team. And he is a professor at the University of Virginia, and he's an expert in religious liberty, and that's one reason they wanted him to get involved in this case. And at the last minute, this was where the mistake came in my estimation, a week before the oral arguments, they decided that they would have Douglas Laycock argue the case instead of the person who was going to argue the case. And I don't know if he didn't have time to prepare or what happened, but they got into a discussion, the court justices and Laycock, Professor Laycock, got into a discussion about, he was asked to give an example of a non-sectarian prayer. And then there was some back and forth about would atheists be covered in a non-sectarian prayer, and he said no. And then it sort of exploded later because all of the atheist groups said, you know, the atheists have been thrown under the bus, which they were. And so I was shocked sitting there, in the court, in the Supreme Court. I was there.
You were the atheist, identified atheist plaintiff.
Right, right.
And he was supposed to represent you.
he is my representative, and he is not representing me right. You know, I was just shocked. So when you go out, when the oral argument is over, you go out and you're surrounded by these reporters asking you your reaction to what went on, and I was just sort of stunned, and I said something about, you know, atheists have to come out of the closet and follow the lead of the LGBT community, and you know, that's all I could think of, because that was, my mind was on what he had said. It was so shocking to me.
Well, and that was a tactful way to to mention it.
Yeah.
Well, we are talking with Linda Stevens, the very brave atheist plaintiff in Greece versus Galloway.
Would have been Greece versus Stevens, except for alphabetical reasons, right?
Right. Well, there are two of you, equally important.
Susan Galloway, we talked with 2 weeks ago.
And on the week the decision came down, Linda, you became a lifetime member of FFRF. What a wonderful gift! Thank you. We're so honored.
Well, I think your organization is much, much needed.
We'll be back. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll continue our conversation with Supreme Court plaintiff Linda Stevens.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're delighted to have on the phone with us from New York, Linda Stevens, the co-plaintiff in Greece versus Galloway, the recent Supreme Court decision blessing sectarian prayer, and Linda was the very brave atheist plaintiff. We're doing a post-mortem on that decision, on the oral arguments, and Linda, I think you have a little bit more you wanted to say about the oral arguments.
Well, a couple of things. As the lead lawyer explained to me later, it's not as bad as everyone thinks, because as she explained it, the Supreme Court does not base its decision on oral arguments at all. They base it on the written briefs. So that was one consolation. The other couple of things I wanted to say about Professor Douglas Laycock. The reason he was chosen at the last minute to do the oral argument was he had some pluses that Americans United, their legal staff, thought would help. He's argued before the Supreme Court several times before, and he has a reputation for arguing on both sides of the issue of religious liberty. For example, one time he represented before the Supreme Court the Church of the Lukumi Babalu Eye, which is a rather obscure church that does animals, small animal, they sacrifice small animals during their religious ceremonies. And he won that case. And then he did another case before the Supreme Court in which he stuck up for parents and students who were objecting to school-sponsored prayer. He was on our side on that issue. And currently he has filed an amicus brief in the Hobby Lobby case, and he's on the side of the Hobby Lobby.
Oh, no.
People. So he switched back to the other side now.
Wow, so, I think that would have been the red flag to me.
Well, that made the legal staff at AU think he would have more credibility with the conservative Supreme Court instead of somebody from the AU legal staff, because they had more of a reputation as being progressive liberal, maybe.
So the atheists were thrown under the bus. You know, let's not talk about atheism too much.
Right.
However, on the plus side, if there is a plus side, there were four justices of the United States Supreme Court who agreed with us. There were four strong dissenters in this case. So it's not like our arguments had no merit.
Well, it was very close and just a swing vote away. We just lost that swing vote.
You know, I just wrote an essay. I shared it with Annie Laurie a couple of days ago, and I submitted it to the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. They're supposed to tell me today if they're going to print it. But I talked about the positives that I thought had come out of the case, and I thought there were a couple. I think the Supreme Court decision has made it clear that you can't discriminate now, that if they bring in people from outside to give invocations or prayers, they have to open it up to everybody, including atheists and Wiccans, and so that's a big plus, I think. And the other thing, the Supreme Court decision said you can no longer proselytize or disparage people when you're giving these prayers or invocations. And Susan Galloway and I were, we suffered some disparagement from some of these more, you know, over-the-top pastors, conservative Christian pastors that come in to give these prayers before the Greasetown Board. You know, we were called ignorant of history. We were called not God-fearing. We were called bigots, or if not called that, it was insinuated that we were definitely bigots because we wouldn't shut up about these Christian prayers. So that's a good thing, I think.
Although Kennedy wasn't very sympathetic, you know, he said that didn't amount to a pattern. But it gives us something to go for if there's a real abusive preachers out there.
So what can we do about it now?
Well, we have our Nothing Feels Like Prayer contest. We're encouraging non-believers to try to get on the agenda to give an atheist homily or free thought invocation. I know other secular groups are doing similar things. So,
well, in Greece, New York itself, right?
Yeah, and I understand, Linda, that Dan Courtney, who's our FFRF member there too, is on the agenda to give his free thought homily, I think, in July.
Right, we're very excited about that. It's going to be the first ever atheist invocation at the Greasetown Board. And Dan, he belongs to the atheist community of Rochester, as do I, and he's great. He used to be the head of a free thought organization in Syracuse, New York, and he's very, very good. And he does these debates sort of like Dan. He goes all over and he debates religious people. I went to his last one at one of the local colleges, and they were debating the subject, is there a God? So he likes to do this, and
well, we're hoping he wins our contest.
Yeah, I do too.
Atheist invocation. What do atheists invoke?
Reason.
reason instead of when atheists, I think there are different kinds. As a matter of fact, there was one in the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. In the letters to the editor, somebody sent in a secular prayer. But I always say to people, you know, when pastors deliver prayers, they are appealing to God. And when atheists do that, they're appealing to reason to make decisions about
That's
government.
Right. So, yeah. And to our shared humanity, not giving
right.
it up to some spook in the sky. Now, right. Linda, I wanted to ask, I know you've had some nasty reaction upon the losing this case, and I think that you've had some threats all along. What kind of reactions have you been getting? What have you been having to put up with?
Well, right after the decision came down, a couple of things that happened within a day or two after that. We have a big mall in the town of Greece, and I was up in the mall, and a man approached me, accosted me, and he was incredulous, and he said, did I see you in the paper? And I said, probably. And he said, you don't believe in prayer? He was just astounded. And I said, no, I'm an atheist, and then I said, I believe in the separation of church and state, and I wanted to talk to him some more, but he just threw up his hands and he walked off very, very angry. One of my neighbors, I was out in the backyard, and he walked along the sidewalk along my property, and then he came back very slowly, and when he got in shouting distance of me, he yelled out, "It's a great day in the neighborhood for prayer," he said.
So, oh, dear. Yeah, that's hard when you have a neighbor like that.
Yeah, and there have been letters to the editor in the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, you know, telling how stupid Susan and I are for trying to take God out of the town board meeting.
Out of a godless meeting.
But then I hope you've been hearing from folks like us, too, who are so proud of you.
I have. I often eat at a family restaurant up in the mall. It's called Critics. And I was in there the last time I was in there. The owner came over, sat down at my table, and said, "Are you Linda?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You know, I've been reading about this prayer case in the New York Times, and you're absolutely right," he said.
Oh, how nice.
So, plug the restaurant again. Critics?
Well, we are out of time. We have been talking with our lifetime member and very courageous litigant against government prayer, Linda Stevens. Thank you so much for everything you've done.
Thank you.
We also want to thank our engineer and our producer, Dave McCann. You can go to ffrf.org/news/radio to hear all the archives of Free Thought Radio or to sign up for the podcast.
Join FFRF.org. If you're a regular listener, you probably know enough to know whether you like us or not. But if you want a sample issue of our newspaper, we'd be glad to send you one gratis. Just go to FFRF.org and click on the Send Me Info or phone 1-800-335-4021 and become part of this movement to keep religion out of government and fight back against religious incursions and promote reason and free thought and come out of the closet. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join me.